we're holding on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Now that we talked about in the previous Mishnah about categorizing the mitzvahs between ones that women are and aren't chayavin, so now let's talk about a different way of categorizing mitzvahs, where they apply and where they don't. Mitzvahs at Tluyas V'oretz versus ones that apply everywhere in the world. So the Mishnah says, "Kol mitzvah shi tluya ba'aretz." Any mitzvah that depends on Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see exactly in the Gemara what that means. Einan ahegas ela ba'aretz. Such a mitzvah applies only in Eretz Yisrael. V'she'ena tluya ba'aretz nahegas bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. When it doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael, then it applies whether in Eretz Yisrael or in chutz la'aretz. Chutz mina orla v'kilayim. With the exceptions of Erla and Kilayim, even though now mitzvahs at Tluyas V'aretz, so we're going to discuss in the Gemara what it means. We're going to end up saying that mitzvahs at Tluyas V'aretz means any mitzvah and it has to do with the earth or its produce. So basically, you're talking about ultimately once we define that, we're going to be talking about all the mitzvahs that are described in Mishnayos Seder Zroim, with the exception of Masechta Brachos, and similarly that are described in the Rambam in Sefer Zroim. But Orla and Kilayim are in that category. They're very much agricultural mitzvahs, but they apply outside Eretz Yisrael too. We're going to see eventually in the Gemara. On what grounds the Gemara later on Lamed Chesem and Beis is going to tell us that Orla is halacha and kilayim is midirei sofrim. So midirei sofrim is very clear. It means midrabanan. And what kind of kilayim? We have to remember that kilayim includes many different things. Some of them are not tluyas v'aretz. For among kilayim, you have kilayakeren, where grain or vegetables are planted in a vineyard. You have kilay zroyim, planting two different kinds of seeds of plants together, like wheat and barley, let's say. You have kilay ilan, grafting one kind to another. All of those are agricultural mitzvahs. Then you also have kinds of kilayim that are not agricultural, that don't have to do with the land. You have kilay behema, you know, to cross breed or to hitch up together to a wagon or a plow or whatever, two kinds of animals. And you have kilay begadim, shatnez. Kilay begadim and kilay behema obviously apply outside Eretz Yisrael also, as we're going to end up saying. But as far as the other kinds of kilayim, we're going to end up discussing in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Lamed Tes what aspects of kilayim exactly are applicable outside Eretz Yisrael. As far as Orla, where it says it's halacha, also the Gemara is going to present a machlokas whether it means halacha l'moshe misinai or whether it's what's called hilchas medina, which is basically derabanan, basically derabanan. So in that case, it wouldn't be very much different than divrei sofrim. Anyway, those two apply outside Eretz Yisrael as well, even though they're mitzvahs at Tluyas V'aretz. And we'll talk in the Gemara how we know. I mean, if Orla is halacha Moshe Mishinai, by definition, there's no raya for it. It's something that was taught Baal Peh to Moshe, and there's no source for it in a pasuk. But yeah, we'll end up discussing that. Rabbi Eliezer says also Chodosh applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, even though, again, it's an agricultural mitzvah. Now, first of all, Tosfos brings up the point from the Yerushalmi, why aren't we, what we have another agricultural mitzvah that we know we do, Adar Yom Hazeh and Chutz La'aretz as well. Challah. You make a batch of dough, you take challah from it. Why aren't we mentioning that? One answer is indeed that it's derabanan, but then again, you could say the same thing as far as kilayim in Chutz La'aretz, whatever kind of kilayim we're going to talk about, is also derabanan. The Yerushalmi brings that the reason is what we're talking about in the Mishnah is only things that are applicable to whether the produce was grown by Jews or by goyim. Orla is going to apply whether a goy planted a tree or a yid planted it. Kilayim, whatever kind of kilayim we're going to end up saying, primarily we're talking about kilaya kerem, is the same kind of thing. As opposed to challah, only applies to grain that was grown by Jews. To be exact, I mean, when it comes to challah, actually, it's not really who grew the grain, it's really who made the dough. That's you buy flour from the store, it was made by goyim, but you are mixing it up and you're making a dough, and that's when it becomes chayiv and challah. But in any case, the point is that challah wouldn't apply to a batch of dough prepared by prepared and then mixed by goyim. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says it doesn't list it.
If it's not prepared by goyim, but in the Yiddish catering hall, let's say?
So if it's in a Yiddish catering, or if it belongs to a Yid, that's different. Fine, no, but we're not getting into that. But yeah, anyway, then Tosfos goes on to mention that what about Truma and Meiser? What about Truma and Meiser? It also applies outside Eretz Yisrael in certain places, Derabanan. But then Tosfos says, because it's true, Truma and Meiser and Derabanan applies in some places close to Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't apply in the places further out. Whereas challah applies everywhere in the world, midrabanan, that is. And really, in other words, Tosfos says the logical reason why taka should it be, why did the Chachamim extend challah to everywhere in the world and not truma and maaser? So Tosfos mentions a point that, after all, everywhere else in the world, the ground, the land itself, doesn't really belong to us. Essentially, a goyish king or goyish government of any kind has the lahalocha. They're considered to be the balabas of the land. We're in effect just renting it from them by paying them property taxes for it. Therefore, in that sense, it can't truly. So Eretz Yisrael is one thing. Even if a goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't take away the kedusha from it. But when it comes to chutz la'aretz, we don't really have that. Therefore, when the Chachamim set up that some of the countries near Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, Amun Moav, etc., that they do take Truma and Maaser Derabanan, but not further out. But not further out on the grounds of that.
So basically just those lands
that are mentioned in various other places in the Gemara, Bavel, Amun Moav, and Mitzrayim. So you're talking about to put it in modern terms, then you're talking about parts of Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon, Jordan and Egypt, and that's about it. The whole rest of the world is Potter from Truma and Meiser. Anyway, then also now when we talk about over here, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is saying Afa Chodesh, so there you have a big machlokas. First of all, is the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer or not? Now, usually he's a yochid against the rabbin. We're not usually going to paskin like him. However, we have reason to think the halacha might be like him, because we're going to bring later on a stam mishnah. From the end of Masechta Orla that says it is applicable in Chutz La'aretz. So then in that case, then maybe that would be reason to paskin like him. So that's one question. Second of all, if you say the halacha is like him, does it mean, again, based on Tosfos' distinction, based on the Yerushalmi, does it apply to grain grown only by Jews or also to grain grown by goyim? So Tosfos brings up the point. What about, for example, Tosfos says that we often... So what happens, for example, Tosfos says we drink beer that was made by goyim. They make it from barley that they planted, and what if that barley is chodesh? So Tosfos says, okay, the fact is most barley is planted before Tesayin Nissan. The rule of chodesh is you have to have that the grain didn't take root before Tesayin Nissan, which is the day the Korban Omer is brought. As long as the grain was planted up to a couple of days before that, up to a couple of days before Pesach, then it'll have taken root by Tesayin Nissan, and then when it's harvested later in the year, then fine, it's not Chodesh anymore. So therefore, Tosfos says, practically speaking, most of the barley that ends up being made into beer was planted before Tesayin Nissan, and therefore you're good. But there is a good deal of discussion about that, whether B'chlal applies to grain that was grown by Goyim. Famously, the Bach held that not, that when you have grain outside Eretz Yisrael that was grown by Goyim, then he holds it's potter from Chodesh. It's a well-known thing. Baal Shem Tov one time told his Talmidim to bring him some beer to drink from that was made by Goyim from barley that had been planted after Tesayin Nissan, so it would be Chodesh. And he explains that in Shemayim they have tremendous respect for the Bach, and here on earth the halacha is like him. This is why you have in much of the Frum Welt nowadays, they have they're careful with Chodesh, and you have products that are labeled Yoshan, and they have lists every year of when to know when something is no longer Yoshan and when you have to be concerned for Chodesh. Based on the packaging codes on the containers and whatnot, but we see that by us in Lubavitch and by many other groups of Chassidim, they're not careful with that. Based on this, that the Baal Shem Tov said that the halacha is like the Bach, that grain grown by goyim is not subject to chodesh. But again, not everybody agrees with that. So, which is why you have the chumrah in many parts of the Welt.
even though it might belong to some Yidden, but
so it's not necessarily a question. No, so I mean, your average grain field in Kansas or wherever it is that they grow the wheat or whatever it is that they grow for your noodles or the barley for your beer or whatever is probably not owned by Jews. There is a whole question in that, actually. What happens if you have a little? What happens if you're not sure? And what do you do as far as Bottle Baroy? There is actually a Kunter Safran where the Alter Rebbe talks about this and discusses. Do we say, why don't we say that's Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin and it wouldn't be Bottle? That's a whole nother issue. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off. My Tluya or my She'ena Tluya. When we say in the Mishnah mitzvah tluya ba'aretz and mitzvah she'ena tluya ba'aretz, what do we mean? How do we categorize them? Ilema tluya d'chtiv ba'bia. Do you mean that a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz is one where the Torah mentions you coming into Eretz Yisrael? For example, you have Orla is introduced. Ki savoyu ala aretz, then you should keep a mitzvah of Orla. Or you have, for example, you have mitzvahs that are introduced. Ki yiviyacha, when Hashem will bring you into Eretz Yisrael. Well, the problem with that is, and you're going to say the she'ena tluya deloy ksiba biya, and you're going to say mitzvah she'ena tluya ba'aretz is one where it doesn't say this expression of coming into Eretz Yisrael. What about v'arei tefillin or petach hamor? But consider the case of mitzvah of tefillin and petach hamor d'chtib behen biya. It does say biya in them because they're in the parasha of v'hoya ki v'yacha, the one that we say in Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, which is the second parasha in tefillin. So there v'hoya ki v'yacha Hashem, and it mentions over there v'havarta kol petach rechem Hashem v'petach hamor tiftev aser, and at the end it mentions tefillin v'hoya l'chol ois hayodcha ol toitofis ben einecha v'noigin ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz la'aretz, and we know that tefillin and petach hamor apply both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Now, how do we know, Taka, that they apply in Chutz La'aretz? So Rashi says, because we find many places throughout Shas where Amiroyim from Bavel were wearing tefillin. So therefore, obviously, it must be chayiv in it. As far as Petach Hamor, there's parenthesis in Rashi, so maybe it doesn't necessarily belong, but anyway. When it comes to petach hamor, it's very clear. The Torah makes it clear that it, as long as the animal was the first one to exit the womb of this mother, then it's chayev, meaning whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. So now Tosfos objects and says, one second, you're saying because the Amoraim wore tefillin in Chutz La'aretz, therefore that shows that they're chayev in it derabanan, that they're chayev in it deraisa. Maybe they're only doing it derabanan. So what kind of proof is that? So Tosfos says no. What it means is, in other words, that first of all, Tosfos says even if it was only Dirabanan, then the Mishnah could have listed it just like it listed Orla and Kilayim, which are only Dirabanan. But anyway, Tosfos says that the question of the Gemara is, of course, we know to begin with what mitzvahs atluyas ba'aretz are. We know it's like we said before, the mitzvahs that have to do with the earth itself, with the soil itself, and with its produce. What the Gemara is asking is maybe mitzvahs atluyas ba'aretz includes those plus any mitzvah where it says v'hoya ki v'yacha. So therefore, of course, it would include all the agricultural mitzvahs, whether they're introduced with v'hoya ki v'yacha or b'voyachem or any expression like that, plus any ones where it says v'hoya ki v'yacha, such as tefillin and petach hamor. And the fact is that tefillin and petach hamor are noyig b'chutz la'aretz as well. So that can't be what the Mishnah means by tluyas b'aretz. Ela amar Rav Yehuda hachikama. What it means is kol mitzvah shi hachoyvas haguf. The distinction is a mitzvah that's incumbent on your body. You, the body of a yid, has to do such and such a mitzvah. So such a mitzvah applies in Eretz Yisrael or outside. But when you have a mitzvah that applies to the ground of Eretz Yisrael, that applies to the ground or to things that grow from it, then that applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the distinction, not between whether it says v'hoya ki v'yacha or any expression like that, but rather whether it actually applies to the soil of Eretz Yisrael and its produce or not. That would be the distinction we're making. Okay, so the Gemara says, Minohani Mili. So where do we know this from that you have that distinction? Maybe a mitzvah that applies to the ground everywhere in the world. So the Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa Now we're going to darshan in a pasuk that goes like this. At the beginning and near the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, you have after Moshe has spent the previous parashas, Dvorim, Vaschan, and Ekev, and the first few psukim of Re'eh, telling the Jewish people how you have to be careful to always be loyal to Hashem and observe His mitzvahs. So now, beginning from near the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, beginning from Perek Yud Beis, he starts discussing many of the mitzvahs. Some of them are repeats from before, some of them are new ones, many of them have extra details, etc., and that covers the next few parashiyas. You have hundreds of mitzvahs between the next few parashiyas. Anyway, he introduces it. Eila achukim b'mishpatim ashatishmur l'ases. These are the chukim and the mishpatim that you should observe to do. Ba'aretz asher nasan Hashem Elokeinu v'aseichem l'chol rishta, in the land that Hashem has given you to inherit. Kol hayomim asher atim chayim al ha'adama, all the days that you're living on the earth. So that's the pasuk. So now the Gemara, now the Braisa is going to break down this pasuk and darshan it phrase by phrase. Eila hachukim elo hamidroshes. When it says Eila hachukim, refers to the midroshes. So that refers to the midas shatur nidreshes for him. So there's different discussion among the Mephoshim. Do we mean that chukim itself includes the actual halachas that result from those droshes, or maybe chukim just means the rules themselves? One interesting explanation why they're called chukim is, in the sense, the same way as you have a chuk that you don't fully understand, here you have these midas that you have the midas themselves. How to actually apply them is something not so obvious, and therefore they can be called chukim. Vamishpatim elo hadinim. The word mishpatim then refers to the dinim, so that would mean. So that would mean the dinim that are explicitly said in the Torah, or it could mean, if chukim itself means the actual dinim that are learned from the Yud Gimel Midas, then dinim would be the ones that are explicitly stated in the Torah. If you say that chukim means the Yud Gimel Midas themselves, then dinim would be all the various dinim that derive from those. Anyway. Asher tishmeron zum Mishnah, when the pasuk continues that you should observe, that refers to the Mishnah, because learning the Mishnah, maybe the day my said, brings you to know what to actually do. And you know, you think about it. I mean, we have places in the Gemara where it says that, with Sota, for example, where it says you're not supposed to pask in halacha directly from the Mishnah. But the reason for that is because ultimately the Gemara will sometimes tell us that a din in the Mishnah applies only in certain limited circumstances, or it's only according to one Tana or whatever. But in principle, the idea was supposed to be that the Mishnah should be like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You're going to look in it and you're going to know what to do and what not to do. Anyway, so therefore Tishmeron refers to the Mishnah. Lasis Zumai said the word Lasis in the Pasuk refers to actually doing the mitzvahs. So now the pasuk is saying that all of that is ba'aretz. Yochol kol mitzvahs kulan loyu noigim ela ba'aretz. You would think then that maybe all mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael. No, tamad loyma kol ayamim asher atem chayim al ha'adama. Therefore, the pasuk finishes off all the days that you're living on the earth, meaning wherever you live in the world, then you have to keep the mitzvahs. So we see that they're not just so the mitzvahs are not just limited to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, Rashi on the pasuk in V'hoyim Shemaya, when we have Va'avadta Mehero or Shema Va'avadta Mehero Ma'ala Etzateva V'samtem Esdvara Ela Alavavchem Al Nafshechem. So Rashi brings over there that what the Torah is telling us is that even when you're in Golus, continue to observe the mitzvahs so that you'll know, so that you'll be familiar with them and will keep on doing them when you return to Eretz Yisrael with the Gola Amitis Vashlem. So therefore, so we see that, in fact, the Ramban says earlier, that was part of the Gemara's proof to say, how do we know that Tefillin and Petra Chamur, that the Gemara took it as a given that Tefillin and Petra Chamur apply outside Eretz Yisrael? That's why, because it's clear from the Pasuk that they're meant to be kept even in Chutz La'aretz. So then in that case, and so here we see from the fact that it says kol hayom mashatim chayim. Well, e kol hayomim. So now if we're saying that the mitzvahs apply as long as you're living anywhere in the world, yochol miyu noigim bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. So then you would think the other way around, maybe all mitzvahs apply both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, tamad lama ba'aretz. Therefore, the pasuk says ba'aretz. So in other words, you have kind of a ribui from the words kol hayom mashatim chayim al ha'adama, implying that mitzvahs apply everywhere in the world, and then you have the miyut from ba'aretz, implying that they apply only in Eretz Yisrael. So which is it? So given that we have a ribui and we have a miut, and we have to figure out which one applies to what, then you can learn one of the midas shatir and adreshes behem. The next to last is dover alamin min yonev, dover alamin min sefer. That means sometimes we tell the parameters of a mitzvah from something in the context of it. So you look at the context surrounding that mitzvah, and from that you derive details about the mitzvah. So here, what does it say after this pasuk? The next thing that Hashem starts telling Moshe to tell the Jewish people, "Abed to Abdonas kol mekomes asher avdu sham v'gomer," you should destroy all the places where the goyim worship their getchkes. So we're saying, in other words, that the pasuk is so the pasuk is finished. Kol ayamim asher atem chayim, and then it continues with that mitzvah. Therefore, that mitzvah is meant to tell us. That mitzvah creates a category, which now we can say any mitzvah that belongs in that category are the ones that are included in Kol Hayom Ashatim Chayim Al Adama. And that would be, therefore, Ma Avodas Chovim Yuchedes. So what is special about Avodah Zarah? She Chovas Aguf. It's a Chov on the actual person. It's not a Chov on the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah, a Yid anywhere in the world is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. V'nehegas Ben Ba'oretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz. And it applies whether in Eretz Yisrael or whether outside it. Af Kol She Chovas Aguf. The same way, we can learn from that. Any other mitzvah that is a Chovas Aguf, Nehegas Ben Ba'oretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz, then that applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, because it's similar to this mitzvah of Abed to Abdon. Actually, the Ramban points out a problem with that. The problem is the mitzvah of Abed to Abdon is to actually go and look for Avodah Zarah and destroy it. Now, that mitzvah applies really only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, it's true. If you get a hold of a getchke, by all means, destroy it, and you bring Mekayim a mitzvah. But the concept, you have a concept Rashi mentions on the pasuk, shatzarech l'sharish achareha, that you have to completely uproot it. You have to look for any trace of it and remove it. That really only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You don't really have it in Chutz La'aretz. So in that case, then what is the Gemara saying that we're comparing to that? So rather, the Ramban says, we're not really talking so much about the pasuk Abed to Abdon, but rather, what does the pasuk continue after that? Saying the Goyim will worship, it continues, the Goyim were worshiping the Getchkes everywhere, on every mountain, on every hill, under every tree, etc. And you shouldn't do like that for Hashem, which we learn from that. That it means, in other words, unlike they would sacrifice to their idols everywhere, you're not allowed to bring korbanos to Hashem, except in a certain place, the Mishkan, and later on the Beis Mikdash. So therefore, now that's a chovas aguf. That applies everywhere in the world, that you're not allowed to bring korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, the Gemara can be learning from that, not really from the mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah, but rather from the whole context where it says right there, they're worshiping Avodah Zarah anywhere, everywhere. You don't worship Hashem everywhere with korbanos, and that's a chovas aguf, and that applies everywhere in the world. So from that, the Gemara is doing the Dover Alam and Minyanai, that therefore we learn from that, similarly, any other mitzvah that's in that category is something that applies Kol Hayom Asha'atem Chayim Al Ha'adam, everywhere you live in the world. Incidentally, in this connection, an interesting thing, back when space travel was first beginning, late 60s, early 70s, there was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Rabbi Zion Firer, right? He's a well-known writer. He published an article arguing maybe people aren't chayiv to keep mitzvahs in space. He says, because after all, what are we saying over here? Okay. Really, we would have said only Eretz Yisrael, and only because Kol Hayom Asha'atem Chayim Al Ha'adam. Fine, but in that case, then limited only to Al Hadama, not when you're in space. So if you're on the moon or whatever, he argued maybe you'd be potter for mitzvahs. So at that time, there was another Rav, Rabbi Menachem Kasher, the famous author of Torah Shlema. He published a little booklet called Ha'odam Al Yareach, Man on the Moon, and he discusses over there the halachas and hashkafas and whatever of space travel. One cute thing he mentions over there, for example, when we say you have the pasuk b'chofra halavano uvor shacham, the moon and the sun will be embarrassed in the face of the light of Hashem. He says maybe the b'chofra halavano is referring to now that people have walked all over it and sent rovers all over it and so forth. Maybe now this is the kiyum of that pasuk, that the moon is being embarrassed, like it's not something inaccessible anymore. Anyway, he mentions in this book and in other places he argues very sharply against that and says, absolutely not. Mitzvahs do apply in space just as much as they do here on Earth. You may have some mitzvahs. You have mitzvahs that are mitzvahs shazman groma, you may not be able to do in space, because what's your time? Where what time are you considered to be in space? Do you go according to where you took off from, or where you happen to be over at this moment, or whatever? Fine, you could dingzik about that. But the basic idea that mitzvah supply in space, that would still apply.
Based on what?
Based on that, the fact is, I mean, first of all, I think it's a svara. You're not going to say that a person is going to be completely potter from mitzvahs just because he's not on Earth anymore. The fact is, he's still a human being, and Hashem is he's still a nivra, and he's still living with Hashem's chesed and so forth. But yeah, and after all, space is also created by the Eibishter. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, then we said in the Mishnah. So that's how we establish. Anyway, so that's how we establish that mitzvahs that are not tluyas ba'aretz, mitzvahs that are choyvas ha'guf, that depends on the person's body. Hashem says to the yid, you have to do such and such a mitzvah. Then that applies everywhere in the world, as opposed to when it's a mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz, where it depends on the soil of Eretz Yisrael. So then, for the most part, those apply only in Eretz Yisrael, like we said. Now, we said, chutz mina orla v'akilayim, we said with the exception of orla and kilayim, and Rabbi Eliezer had said, af ha-chodesh. So now, yibar lehu, Rabbi Eliezer l'kula polig, or l'chumra polig. What does Rabbi Eliezer mean? Is he coming to be mekel? Is he saying, when he says, af ha-chodesh, means also chodesh is in the same category as mitzvah saploy, as the other mitzvah saploy svaret, and it's not applicable outside Eretz Yisrael? Or l'chumra polig, or is he arguing l'chumra and saying just like you Tanakama are saying that Orla and Kilayim apply outside Eretz Yisrael, so does Chodesh. Now that would seem to be the more obvious way to learn Rabbi Eliezer. Why would we even think that he's saying l'kula? The Pnei Yeshua explains because you have later on. We're going to quote a Mishnah that says that Orla and that Orla Kilayim and Chodesh apply outside Eretz Yisrael. Stam Mishnah. If you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that all three of those apply outside Eretz Yisrael, it would come out that Stam Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Eliezer, and we would rather not do that. We'd rather have a Stam Mishnah be according to everybody. So therefore, that's a reason what makes the Gemara think that maybe Rabbi Eliezer is coming Lakula, and therefore that he would disagree with that Mishnah. So then fine. So that Mishnah would represent the opinion of other Tanoim, not just of Rabbi Eliezer. Well, that's the question. In other words, when he says af ha-chodesh, what does he mean? Does he mean Tanakama, you've said that mitzvahs atluyas ba'aretz apply only in Eretz Yisrael? I'm going to tell you, you should know among those mitzvahs that Lois Ba'aretz is Chodosh and it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Or does he mean the Tana had said Chutz Min Ha'Olav Akilayim? So Rabbi Eliezer would be saying, you should know it's not just those two that are applicable in Chutz La'aretz, also Chodosh is a third one that is also applicable in Chutz La'aretz. That would be the Chumra.
So, you know, the way it's stated, you could look at it both ways.
You could look at it both ways, exactly. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua is saying. It would seem more obvious to say that he's Machmir. Why would we even think that he's Mekel? But the reason is because the Gemara is going to assume that otherwise it means that Stam Mishnah at the end of Masechta Orla has to be like him, and we would rather not do that. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara teaches out the two possibilities. L'chumra polig v'hochikama. Would you say that he's arguing l'chumra, and what he's saying is like this? V'hochikama Tanakama. So the Tanakama is saying chutz mina orla v'akilayim dehuchsa gmirila. There is a known halacha that orla and kilayim apply outside Eretz Yisrael, as we will discuss on Daf Lamed Ches Lamed Tes, where exactly that halacha comes from. And even though on the face of it you would say, one second, those are obvious agricultural mitzvahs, those are ones that depend on the soil, nevertheless they're still applicable outside Eretz Yisrael. But when it comes to Chodosh, then the Tanakama would say that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. My timer, Moishav la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva mashma. Because when the Pasuk introduces the concept of Chodosh, so what it says, it's actually, the Torah mentions it in connection with the Korban Omer, and it starts off saying, when you come to the land of your settlement, then you should bring the Korban Omer. Or actually, no, to be exact, what it said, no, it doesn't say Kisavoy, rather, well, it does, but it says Mimoshve Seichem, no, Mimoshve Seichem Tavio Lachem Tinof actually is the Shea Lechem, never mind. No, then it says that you should bring the Korban Omer, and then it says at the end of that, it says that you should not eat Chodosh. So the Tanakhama is saying that when it says the word Moshav, when it says the word Moshavos, or actually by Chodesh itself, actually it says B'chol Moshavei Seichem, V'lechem B'chol V'chama, Lo Seichu, etc. B'chol Seichem, B'chol Moshavei Seichem. So it says Chodesh applies in all Moshavei Seichem. Now, so the Tanakhama is saying La'acha Yerushav Yeshiva Mashma, that means that it comes to tell you the mitzvah of Chodesh applies only after they completely conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. So only after Sheva Shekavshu, the Sheva Shechoku, the 7 years that they were spending conquering Eretz Yisrael, and another 7 years dividing it up among the Shvatim, only after that does the Chiyuv of Chodesh come in. So therefore, the Tanakhama would be saying that Chodesh doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz because he says the word Moshavos does not come to mean that it applies everywhere in the world you live. It's just coming to tell us that it applies even in Eretz Yisrael only after you've settled Eretz Yisrael fully. Then Rabbi Yezel would be coming along and saying that no, Chodesh also applies in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz. My timer, Mokem Sha'atim Yoshvim, because he understands that the word Moshavos, the word Bechol Moshavei Seichem, means that it applies anywhere in the world you live. So therefore, so that would be Lachumra, that would be his basis for saying that Chodesh applies in Chutz Laretz. And again, we'd have the machloikas that we said before. Would Rabbi Eliezer say that it applies only to grain grown by Jews in Chutz Laretz, or would he include even grain grown by Goy? Anyway, so that's one way of understanding Rabbi Eliezer. Oydoma Lakula Poli. Alternatively, though, you can understand Rabbi Eliezer as going Lakula. That he says, except for Ola and Kilayim apply outside Eretz Yisrael because based on a halacha, halacha Moshe Mitzrayim or Hilchos Medina or whatever, as we'll learn later on. And then you would say the Tanakhama would be saying there's no question that Chodesh applies outside Eretz Yisrael because by it says, so therefore on the face of it, it's clear that it means anywhere in the world you live. Then Rabbi Eliezer would be coming and saying, no, Chodesh applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Because Moshe Seichem means to tell us that it applies only after you've conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. Oh my, af akamaisa. So what does he mean? The word af, he means to go back to what we said at the beginning. We said kol mitzvah satluris baaretz apply only in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Eliezer would say not like you Tanakhama who wants to exclude Chodesh from that rule and make it applicable in Chutz Laretz. No, also that is one that applies only in Eretz Yisrael. It says Moshe Seichem. Moshe Seichem doesn't mean it applies everywhere in the world. It means it applies only after Yerushalayim Yeshiva. So if you learn like that, then Rabbi Eliezer is being Mekel and saying Chodesh doesn't apply outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says Toshma. The Omer Abaya, we can prove from the following that Abaya says, Man Tana de Poliga, Lady Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shmuel. Which Tana is it that disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer would be Rabbi Shmuel, as we're going to see that Rabbi Shmuel learns the word Moshavei Seichem we're going to see that he holds that Moshavei Seichem means La'acha Yerushav Yeshiva. So therefore, if he's disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer on that, necessarily, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer must say that Moshavei Seichem means anywhere you live in the world. So it's like this. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The context of this Braisa is as far as Nisachim. The Torah tells us in Parshas Shlach, after the whole story of the Meraglim and everything, the Torah tells us the mitzvah of Nisachim, when you're bringing certain karbonis, primarily an Ola or a Shlomim, and certain other karbonis as well, then you have to bring with them Nisachim, a certain amount of flour and oil and wine. So the first part of the Braisa starts talking about the question: does that apply when you bring korbanos on a on? So we know you have the central mizbeach when bomos are also when you're not allowed to bring korbanos anywhere else during the time of the Mishkan in the desert and then in Shiloh and afterwards the Beis Mikdash, then you weren't allowed to bring korbanos anywhere else. Then the mizbeach is called the mizbeach, but then you have the time when you were allowed to have private bomos during the time when the Mishkan was in Gilgal and then in Noiv and then in Gibeon. And then the Mizbeach, the central Mizbeach, is called the Boma Gdoyla. And then you can also have Bomas Ktanis anywhere else. So the first part of the Braisa starts talking about where exactly does Nisachim apply. So Rabbi Shmuel starts in the Braisa saying that it applies that at a time when bomber samuter, you don't have to bring the sochim on it. Only on the bomber gdola or the mizbeach. Only on the mizbeach and the mishkan would you have to bring the sochim. So the Gemara is quoting the Braisa from the middle. The Rabbi Shmuel continues l'lamdecha. So that comes to teach you now. Since the pasuk says the pasuk there also introduces the mitzvah with Moshe Seichem. Ki savoyu al eretz Moshe Seichem. When you come to the land that you're going to settle, and you bring korbanos and you bring the sochim with them. So Rabbi Shmuel says you learn from that the fact that it says Moshe Seichem. You learn that it applies only la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva, only after they've fully conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. So shekol makom shenemar by Moshe eina ela la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva. Did Rabbi Shmuel? So Rabbi Shmuel says we have a general rule from that anywhere where the Torah says Moshe, where the Torah says Moshe, anywhere where the Torah says that something applies b'chil Moshe Seichem, then it means that it's after Yerusha v'yeshiva. But that would mean, in other words, that it still could apply anywhere in the world. After Yerusha v'yeshiva, exactly.
So someone has a land, they own it, so I guess it's considered Yerusha.
No, so Yerusha v'yeshiva means, in other words, that you had, it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, it took them another 7 years to divide it up among all the Shvatim. Until that was completed, nobody is considered, even though people, practically speaking, some people have already settled in their lands, it's not considered Ma'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva. They'd be potter from, according to Rabbi Shmuel, they'd be potter from Nesachim. Maybe potter according to one possibility we said over here from Chadosh. Maybe potter from other things as well. Bikurim is another example. There's a number of the mitzvahs of Pluris Maritz that kick in only la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva. Further on, the Gemara is going to give the rule that since you have in one place where it mentions bia, where it mentions coming into Eretz Yisrael, and it mentions v'yerusha v'yashavta ba, namely in connection with appointing a king, where the pasuk starts off. And pasuk starts off kisavoyu el aretz v'yerusha v'yashavta ba v'amarta asima alay melech. So we learned by a binyan av from that any other place where the Torah mentions coming into Eretz Yisrael means la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva. With the we learn from that, for example, we learn from Bikurim as well. We're going to talk about that more on Amud Beis. Anyway, an exception to that, by the way, is Chala, because Chala, instead of Kisavoyu, it says Bevoyachem, which is a different Lashon, and we learn that Chala applied as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, the point is that, so Rabbi Shmuel says in the Braisa, that we see that once we see that according to him, Nesachim apply only after, they apply only to the Bama Gdola, only to the central Mizbeach. And the pasuk is saying that implies b'chol Moshe Seichem. That means only la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva.
Never happened.
During the 14 years that the Mishkan was in Gilgal, they didn't yet have Yerusha v'yeshiva. Therefore, he's saying Nesachim wouldn't have applied then. So in other words, he would learn like this: that during the time when they were in the Midbar, they would. They wouldn't necessarily be bringing Nesachim either. So now, when the Torah is telling us, it's not as soon as you come into Eretz Yisrael, it's after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. So the first time you're going to have to start bringing the Sochim with your Korbanos is going to be after the Mishkan is set up permanently in one place, which is after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, which is Mishkan Shiloh. That's what Rashi goes on to say. Even after Shiloh was destroyed, and you're allowed to build bomas in other places, and the central mizbeach is not called anymore mizbeach; it's called a bomas tzibur or a bomas gdola. Nevertheless, Nisachim would still continue to exist over there, and also everywhere else in the world. If you were to build a Mizbeach to Hashem outside Eretz Yisrael, then you wouldn't be bringing a Sochim over there. But the point is, the word Moshavos doesn't, so that's the point. He's saying the word Moshavos Seichem doesn't mean it applies everywhere in the world. It means it applies only in Eretz Yisrael after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. So the Braisa continues, Omolei Rav Akiva, Hare Shabbos Shenever by Moshavos. What about though by Shabbos? Where it uses the word Moshavos, Lo Sevaru Esh Bechol Moshavos Seichem, and Shabbos Apov, and Ahegus Ben Ma'oritz Ben Mechotz Laretz. So you can't say that everywhere it says Moshavos Seichem limits it to Eretz Yisrael. Rather than so therefore. So Rabbi Akiva then is going to say, Rashi goes on to say that no, it means Moshe Secha means everywhere in the world, anywhere in the world where you would build a private bama, meaning in the time when bama samutar, then you would have to bring the sachem there. So according to him, in other words, during the time when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, then they would be bringing the sachem not only on the bamas tzibur in Gilgal, but also on any other private bama that might be built anywhere else. So in other words, he says the reason why it says kisavoyu al haaretz, that what the pasuk is saying is up till now you were in the desert and bamas were also. Up until now you were bringing the sachem only on a bamas tzibur. Now you should know kisavoyu al haaretz, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, before you've even conquered and settled it, while you're busy with the fighting and all, if you build a bama during the 14 years when the Mishkan is in Gilgal, which you're allowed to, then you will have to bring the sachem on that private bama as well. Not like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Nesachim were only ever brought on Bamas Tzibur. So the Braisa continues, Omale. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's not a proof from Shabbos. Shabbos Kavachomer Asya. The reason why Shabbos applies everywhere in the world is based on a Kavachomer. Because you can learn like this: Ma mitzvahs kalis nergus bein ba'oritz bein machot laretz. Madach lighter mitzvahs that are not so the penalties for them are not a strong Shabbos. Unlike most mitzvahs, Shabbos is compared to the whole Torah. Most other mitzvahs are not. So madach other mitzvahs nergus bein ba'oritz bein machot laretz. Shabbos chamiro like koshkein. How much more so Shabbos, which is very stringent, isn't it? So skila, the whole Torah is compared to it, and so forth. So therefore Rabbi Shmuel would say the fact that that Shabbos is more chomer, therefore that's why it applies everywhere in the world. But on the other hand, other than that, Moshe Seichem means only la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva. So the Rosh asks in that case, why is Rabbi Shmuel learning from Nesachim? Why doesn't he learn from Shabbos? That in that case, wherever it says Moshavos means everywhere in the world. And he explains, because Rabbi Shmuel is talking about mitzvahs at Luis Varitz. Nesachim, after all, are made from things that grow from the ground. Shabbos is a chobis at guf. So he understands that those are two different categories of mitzvahs. So that's Rabbi Shmuel. So now Abaya is saying, Abaya says, you should know, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer on that. Rabbi Eliezer, who said, Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the word Moshavis means la'achal Yerusha v'yeshiva, meaning therefore you're not talking about a mitzvah that applies everywhere in the world. You're only talking about a mitzvah that kicks in after Yerusha v'yeshiva. You should know, Abaya is saying Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. Therefore, it would come out, Rabbi Eliezer would say Moshavis means anywhere in the world you live. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would be the one who says that Chodesh applies anywhere in the world you live, because by Chodesh it says Bechel Moshavis Seichem. Shmamina, Rabbi Eliezer, l'chum rapolik, therefore that shows. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer is the one being machmir, and so the Tanakhama would have been saying that Chodosh does not apply outside Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying it is.
It comes out that he's the...
So good, Shmamina, that proves it.
That means the Mishnah is going...
So that means that the Mishnah in Orla necessarily is going to have to go according to Rabbi Eliezer, but we have no choice, fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mechti, Rabbi Shmuel, Ahecha Koin. Now, by the way, when Rashi says that we're learning from Moisavaru Esh Bechel Moshvei Seichem, Tosfos points out that no. First of all, we have that word Moshvei Seichem is used for a different drosha. But second of all, also on Omid Beis, we're going to talk about that this Pasuk of Shabbos is mentioned in the context of the Moedos. Now, the Pasuk Loisavaru Esh is not in connection with any other Yom Tov, it's at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. The Moedos are in Parshas Emor. So rather, Tosfos says the Moshvei Seichem we're talking about is a different one, where it says at the beginning of Parashas Amoedos, at the beginning of the section in Emor, where it talks about the Yom Tovim, it first mentions Shabbos and it finishes off by saying Shabbos Yiv Hashem B'chol Moshvei Seichem. So there you have that word Moshvei Seichem again, and there we don't use that Moshvei Seichem for any other drasha. So therefore, that would be what Rabbi Akiva is arguing against Rabbi Shmuel. And you see that Shabbos applies everywhere in the world. So therefore, obviously Moshvei Seichem can't be limited only to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Mechti Rabbi Shmuel Ahecha Koi." Well, Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa is talking about in context of Nesachim. The fact is, v'nesachim bio Moshev k'sibahu. By nesachim, it doesn't just say the word Moshev seichem. It also says, kisavoyu al-aretz. So maybe you need both. So maybe only when it says kisavoyu, and Moshe Seichem, then it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Where is he getting that the word Moshe Seichem itself would be La'acha Yerusha B'Yeshiva, and that it would apply only in Eretz Yisrael and not anywhere else in the world? So the answer is, you're right. You're right. That's what Rabbi Shmuel means. Wherever it says those two expressions, then it means it's only La'acha Yerusha B'Yeshiva. Now, by Chodesh, you have both of those things. It starts off that section, starting off Kisavoyu El Aretz, and it finishes off that you don't need Chodesh B'chomesh V'Seichem. So therefore, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is going to hold like Rabbi Shmuel and say that it doesn't apply outside Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Eliezer is going to disagree because he holds that Moshe V'Seichem means anywhere in the world. Then the question is, so if you're going to learn like that, what do you mean, Omole Rabbi Akiva, Hare Shabbos Shinemim by Meshavos? When Rabbi Akiva objects and says, but wait, it says Meshavos by Shabbos, but Omole Shabbos Kavachoymi, and Rabbi Shmuel answers, no problem, because Shabbos, we can learn from a Kavachoymer that it applies everywhere in the world. Again, because we said it's a Chavos Aguf. Why does he even need that? Namely, I know Bio Moshe Kamina. Why doesn't he tell him? Very simple. I'm talking not just about where it says Moshe Seichem, where it says Kisavoyu, and it says Moshe Seichem. By Shabbos, it doesn't say Kisavoyu. So what are you bringing me from Shabbos? It's no proof. So the Gemara says, you're right. As a matter of fact, what Rabbi Shmuel is answering to Rabbi Akiva, he's telling him one answer and another answer, meaning there's an answer that Rabbi Shmuel gave, which is not recorded in the Braisa, and then there's a va'oid, there's a furthermore that he's telling him, which is recorded in the Braisa. So Choda, first of all, he's telling him, Nana Bio Moshev Kamina. First of all, I'm talking about only when it says Bia and Moshev, and by Shabbos it doesn't. It only says Bia. It only says Moshev. It only says Moshev Seichem. So you don't even have a question from that. Va'oid, and second of all, even if you wanted to argue that just Moshev Seichem by itself is enough to make it applicable only in Eretz Yisrael, Deka'amet Shahare Shabbos, Shinemah by Moshevus, the answer is Shabbos Kavachoymahi. The answer is, I'm not going to learn Shabbos from the word Moshe Seichem, but rather I'm going to learn from the from a Kavachoymer. And so the Pnei Yeshua goes further, and he explains that Rabbi Akiva was that you could say Rabbi Akiva was wondering, why does it say Moshe Seichem by Shabbos? Maybe fine. I agree, of course, Shabbos applies everywhere in the world, but maybe fakir, we should learn from that Moshe Seichem means any other mitzvah where it says Moshe Seichem alone is noyig ben ba'aretz ben v'chutz la'aretz. Fine. When it comes to Nesachim, where it says kisavoyu and Moshe Seichem is different. But at least over there it says them one right after the other. Kisavoyu al eretz Moshe Seichem. Whereas by Chodesh it doesn't say them one right after the other. Kisavoyu al eretz, etc. Then you should bring a korban omer. And a few psukim later it says that you shouldn't eat Chodesh b'chol Moshe Seichem. So it's not the same kind of thing. So therefore that's what he's asking on Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Shmuel instead is saying we're going to learn Shabbos with a kavah chomer. That it's noyig everywhere in the world. So don't ask me. It says Moshavos by Shabbos, Moshe Seichem by Shabbos, and you should learn from it to everywhere else because Shabbos is a special case. So the Gemara says, "B'mai k'mifli." What is the underlying argument between them? Meaning, in particular, Rashi says, "Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva want to learn like Rabbi Shmuel?" After all, it seems fairly obvious to say that Kisavoyu al Eretz Moshe Seichem means after you come into Eretz Yisrael and you fully settle it. What makes Rabbi Akiva say that no, that it means that that it should be a din that applies everywhere in the world? Now, Tosfos also adds, Rabbi Shmuel, we're not asking why he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, because when he says, where the pasuk continues, Asher ani noisem lochem, and he understands, Rashi had mentioned earlier, I hadn't mentioned it, that when it says lochem, means it applies only on the kind of bama, which is lochem, which is shared by all Jews equally, as opposed to a bama ktana, which is only for an individual. Anyway, but the question is, on Rabbi Akiva, why doesn't he learn the pasuk like Rabbi Shmuel? So the answer is b'kivu nesachim b'midbar k'miflagi. The underlying argument is, did they bring nesachim for korbanos yachid that were brought in the desert? Korbanos tzibur, sure, they brought nesachim. The pasuk mentions that. But in Parashat Tetzaveh, right after it talks about the miluim, so it says, v'zeh ashatas alam izbeach, And it mentions that you bring the korban tum in, and it mentions you bring the sachin with it. But when a private person brings a korban in the desert, then did they bring the sachin with it or not? Rabbi Shmuel saw a loy kirvu nesachin b'midbar. Rabbi Shmuel holds they did not bring the sachin in the desert the first time they brought it. And it, the vort is, in other words, Tosfos explains that Rabbi Shmuel would say if they did bring them in the desert, what would be the logic that then we would say they brought them in the desert, then they stopped bringing them when they set up the Mishkan in Gilgal, and then they started again only when it was set up in Shiloh? What's the logic? Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that no, the more logical thing to say is they didn't bring them in the desert, they didn't bring them in Gilgal either. They only started with the whole concept of Nesachim for Korbanos Yachid only when they came to Shiloh.
Before Yeshiva,
Yeshiva is after Yerusha Yeshiva. They set up the Mishkan and Shiloh 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael, which is La'acha Yerusha Yeshiva. Rabbi Akiva saw Kiruv Nesachim Midbar, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that they did bring Nesachim in the Midbar. So he would say that the Chiddush, what is the Pasuk telling us? Ki Savoyu Al Aretz tells us up until now you bring Nesachim. Even Yechidim were bringing Nesachim in the Midbar. So all it is, in other words, all the Pasuk is telling you, you should know, once you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have Bamas Yochid, you're going to have a Bamaktana, which you couldn't have during the 40 years in the desert, and you should know you're going to have to continue bringing Nesachim on that as well. So the underlying machloikas is what happened during those 40 years. So Rabbi Shmuel is understanding the sequence of events like this. Korbanos Tzibur, they were always bringing the Sachim. Korbanos Yochid, he says, they didn't bring them in the Midbar. They didn't bring them in Gilgal. They only started bringing them in Shiloh and only on the Bamas Tzibur. In Shiloh, once the Mishkan is set up in Shiloh, you can't build Bamas anywhere else anyway. Rabbi Akiva holds the sequence of events was in the Midbar, they're bringing the Sachim for the Tzibur. They're also bringing the Sachim for the Yochid. But at that point, the Yochid has to bring them only on the central Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash. So now the Torah is telling you, once you come to Gilgal, even you're scattered all over Eretz Yisrael and you're going to build private Bamas, you're also going to continue bringing the Sachim up there. Therefore, from that now comes the question, what does Moshe Seichem mean? Does it mean only after Yerusha V'Yeshiva? Or Rabbi Akiva can't say that. He says they did bring Nesachim during those 14 years. Fakerti says they brought them even on private bombers. Therefore, B'chol Moshe Seichem has to be everywhere in the world. So that's what drives their machlokes. Now, though, Amar Abaya, Hai Tanet Veda Bishmal, Mapik Me'iduch Tanet Veda Bishmal. You should know that the Tanet Veda Bishmal that we've been quoting so far, that says when the Torah says Ki Savoyu, well, Eretz Moshe Seichem, or expressions like that, then it means to apply it only in Eretz Yisrael, and only La'acha Yerusha Yeshiva. You should know Mapik Me'iduch Tanet Veda Bishmal. You should know that Tanet Veda Bishmal disagrees with another Tanet Veda Bishmal. Tanet Veda Bishmal just means that these are brises that were taught from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. So we don't have to assume that all the chachamim in his yeshiva held the same way. So the Tanet Veda Bishmal, because we have another Tanet Veda Bishmal. Hoyu v'nemru bias v'torah stam, since the Torah says by a number of mitzvahs just kisavoyu, or expressions like that, when you come, kisavoyu, whatever, and it doesn't say when after they come in does this mitzvah start applying? Is it right away? Is it after Yerusha V'Yeshiva, etc.? Oparet l'cha koser b'echad mehen, l'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Then the Torah specifies by one of them, namely by the Melech, it says Kisavay la Oretz v'Yerusha V'Yeshavta ba. So there it mentions Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Then therefore, any other mitzvah where it says kisavoyu means la'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So according to this new braisa, you don't need it to say Moshe Seichem to say that after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Just kisavoyu by itself is enough to tell us la'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So that would disagree with the previous braisa who says that it needs to say kisavoyu and Moshe Seichem. So on what grounds are the two braises disagreeing? The idach. So what would the Tana of the first braise say? He would say, you know why you can't learn from that? Lafit mishum to have a melech or bikurim shneksum aboyim keechad. Because you have this by melech, you also have this by bikurim. By bikurim also, v'hoyek yisavei ala oretz, v'yurishter v'yashavta ba, and you bring bikurim. So you have shneksum aboyim keechad, as we learned the other day. V'chol shneksum aboyim keechad ein melamdin. So fakir, because it says by melech, and because it says by bikurim, meaning only those, doesn't mean that yurishter v'yashavta ba means after Yerusha B'Yeshiva. Other mitzvahs where it says only Kisavai Fakert, we're not going to learn that they apply only Lacha Yerusha B'Yeshiva. We would say they would apply as soon as they come into Eretz Yisrael, unless it says Moshe Seichem in connection with them. So therefore, the Idach, now the Tana of the second Braisa, what would he say? He would say it's not Shnei Ksuvim Arba'im Ka'echad, Tzrichi, because the fact is, he would say you need both them. It couldn't have said by Melech, and we would learn from it to be Korim or the other way around. De'i Kasa Rachmanam Melech Vale Kasa Bikorim. If the Torah only said this by appointing a king and not by Bikorim, have Amin Bikurim to Kamishani La'alter, you would say, you know why? Because Bikurim, you're benefiting right away. As soon as you have a field, you're right away starting to benefit from eating the fruit. So you would say, La'alter, therefore, Kamishani, where you're having Anah, La'alter, then therefore the Chiyuv maybe should apply as soon as you come into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Pasuk needs to tell us, Yerushta V'Yashav Kabah. No, it only applies after all Jews have their portions in Eretz Yisrael. The famous thing that I've pointed out in Sichas that you learn from that, the Pasuk therefore is stressing the point of Avas Yisrael, until every single Yid is settled in his territory and his plot of land, then you yourself, even though you may have been living comfortably on your land for years already, you're still not fully settled because another Yid is not fully settled, and therefore you don't bring the Korim. But you would have thought like that. The E Kasim Bikurim Vale Kasim Melech. On the other hand, if it's said only by Bikurim and not by the king, you would say, Hava Amina Melech the Daka La Kabish La Alter. You would say, you know what? A king is supposed to be to help conquer. So it should apply right away. Why should you wait until after Yerusha V'Yeshiva to appoint a king? In fact, while you're trying to conquer and settle out Israel is when you need a king. So therefore, the Torah has to stress that no, because the role of a Jewish king is not so much. I mean, he does lead the nation in war, but that's not his primary role. His primary role is to be an example for the Jewish people of what an Eved Hashem should be. And therefore, only after Yerusha V'Yeshiva do we start talking about appointing a king. And the fact is, we know that you have that there's three mitzvahs that they have Lamanis Lam Melech, Lahakos Zera Amalek, and Limnas Beis Hamikdash. A king is going to lead the war against Amalek, but not necessarily the other wars to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So by each one of them, you'd have reason to think that it should apply before Yerusha V'Yeshiva, and therefore the Torah has to spell it out by each one individually. So that Tana would say it's not Shnei Ksuvim Arba'im Ka'echad. The Idach, now what would the first Tana answer back to that? He would say, Nichtev Rachmana Melech V'lei Boi Bikurim. No, you don't have to say that. You could say it could have said it only by Melech. It doesn't have to say it by Bikurim. Va'anoamina, and we would make a Kav Chomer. Uma Melech the Lichbosh, Madach a king who on the face of it is needed in order to help conquer Eretz Yisrael, and nevertheless La'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva, yet you don't appoint a king right away, only La'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva, Bikurim like Kolshkin, how much more so Bikurim? Didn't we just say that Bikurim, you have the Svara that you have on Noah right away? So Tosfos Yishonim says over here, this Tana doesn't agree with that Svara. Doesn't hold of that svara that just because you're already having Hanah, therefore you would think you'd have to bring Bikurim. He says that you don't have to assume that way. In fact, the Ritva says Taka, why not? Because you could say the same thing with Truma and Meiser. You could say the same logic as far as Truma and Meiser. You also are having Hanah, and yet Truma definitely apply, and Meiser definitely only apply La'achad Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So therefore, this Tana figure is the idea, because you're having Hanah, therefore you should have to do it right away as a weak Svara. Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point that we know during the years in the desert, they only brought one Korban Pesach. So only the second year. So Taka why? The Torah says there's a question on both sides. If you say like the one Tana that any mitzvah where it says bia by itself applies only la'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva, then by Pesach it says v'haya kisavayu al aretz. On the other hand, if you say that it has to say bia and moishavos by Pesach, it doesn't say. It just says kisavayu. So then in that case, it should apply all the years outside Eretz Yisrael. And Tosfos also mentioned the point. So Tosfos says, okay, they didn't have to, but that one year Hashem told them to do it. Tosfos also mentioned the point. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, it was a gnai for them. It was a shameful thing that they brought that Korban Pesach only the one time in the desert. So according to this, the gnai was not so much that they only brought the one, but that they spent the 40 years in the desert to begin with. Had they not done the cheta meraglim, they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael right away, and they would have been bringing many more korbanos Pesach. There's a sicha actually where the Rebbe talks about a different reason why we call it a gnai for them, the same way as the tmeim argued to Moshe, and they said, Loman Ligora, why should we have to be deprived of bringing the Korban Pesach? And Hashem said the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, the same way the Jews in the desert, all those other years, all the other 38 years, could have said, Loman Ligora, just because we're stuck here in the desert, why should we be deprived of bringing the Korban Pesach all these years? And the Abishter would have given them the chance. So the fact that they didn't ask for that is considered a gnai. Anyway, the point is, Tosfos is bringing this in to discuss the question, was the Korban Pesach essentially noyig in the desert or not? And the fact is, they only brought it the one time. Okay. So the Gemara says, So in other words, the one Tana says that you could learn by a Kal v'chomer. Therefore, if you didn't, if it says it individually by Melech and Bikurim, then you have Shnei Ksum Aboyim Kachad. The Idach, whereas the second Tana would say, Ikosav Hochi. Yeah, but if it said it only by Melech and you had to learn from it to be Kurim, Hava Aminim, Midi Dahavia Chala, then you would think, you would compare it to the mitzvah of Chala, where Chala does apply as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael, Kamash Malon, therefore you have to be told that no, Bikurim are different than Chala, and they apply only after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So that's the underlying machloikas is between the two Tanit Veda Bishmals is what we're doing as far as whether Kisavoyu by itself is enough based on this Binyan Av from Bikurim or from Melech to learn that it applies to all other mitzvahs where it says Kisavoyu, or do we not say that because those are Shnei Ksum Aboyim Kachad, and therefore, we're going to say that only if it says Kisavoyu al Eretz Moshevei Seichem, only then it applies La'acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva, but otherwise it would apply as soon as they come into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Sorry.
Okay.